Yes, yes. Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you, Shannon and Ray, for tuning people's ears to 101.7 The Truth. You're in the grapevine with me, your host, Manan Sabir. And this is going to be a good one. We got a great show for y'all. We got a really, really good show for y'all. So I'm going to set the table real quick. We got one of the Milwaukee's sharpest financial minds, Erica Odom, in the building. She's joining us. We're going to talk about building wealth, protecting your money, breaking generational financial habits, and, you know, whatever else is on her mind. We're just going to at least give her the opportunity. How you doing, Erica?
Hi, how are you?
Doing good. How's everything going with you? How's your day?
It's good. Busy, per usual.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You
never a dull moment.
Say it again. Okay, here we go.
It's never a dull moment.
Yes, I understand. So I want to jump right in, because I like to always humanize folks, especially when I give them the interviews. So we're gonna humanize you. Who are you, Erica?
So I am Erica Odom. Most people know me as Coach Erica. I am the owner and founder of Odom Investments and Property Management. There's lots that I do: speaker, published author, real estate investor, social worker. The list goes on.
Oh my gosh. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
When you read your resume, what do you say to yourself in the back of your mind?
Where did I have time to do all the things that I do? No, but that's truly what I say, but it all relates. People that follow me and know who I am know that I reference the journey a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's truly been a journey to success for me, and my journey to success is continuing. And everything that I've built, from being a public speaker, being an author, being a success coach, real estate investor, establishing my business, everything relates back to the journey, and it has continued to build on top of each other and grow.
Your growth is of course mirrored by the businesses that you start and also mm-hmm. have success in. What is the one challenge that you are always facing per day? I think people, they see the success, but don't see the underlying challenges.
There is multiple challenges on what I like to call this journey to success. One of them, just really understanding that I always like, when I talk to people, I always like to say, success is a process. And yeah. I think it took me some time to understand that. Like, we live now, especially in a society, everybody wants everything fast, right? Like the microwave. You want 1 minute and you yeah. want success. You want your big blow up. But just really understanding, like when we talk about challenges, that success is a process. It takes time. Mm-hmm. You have to prepare it. You have to grow it. You may take a couple steps back. You may take a couple steps forward, but it truly is a process. And just really having that endurance to keep going, because every day is not perfect. And there's a lot that comes with success: the long days, long nights. Me personally, experiencing, you know, just changes, people that you thought would be there is no longer there.
Right.
A lot of times you're going through the process yourself. So there are several different challenges, but just again, relating back to why are you doing everything that you're doing and what keeps you going, what keeps that endurance, so you don't give up on your journey to success.
Now, I think beyond the title of financial guru, which title are you most proud of?
So, let me see. Which title am I most proud of? I'm going to say that I'm really proud of Coach Erica. So what? As I mentioned earlier, because let me tell you, Coach Erica, even though she's mean, let me tell you about Coach Erica.
Tell me about Coach Erica, girl.
Let me tell you about her. Because listen, you do not want to play with Coach Erica.
Do
Coach
not play, Erica y'all.
She is a true definition of a go-getter. She believes in herself. She's a true hustler. And she gets up every day with intention. Yeah. And that is my number one thing that I preach to people that follow me. You got to get up with intention. My favorite saying is, we all get the same 24 hours in a day. Mm-hmm. But the only question is from person to person is, what are you going to do with your 24 hours of the day?
Right.
Every individual in this world is going through something. I don't care if you're black, white, rich, poor. Everybody has problems. And you can sit and talk all day long about what it is that you have going on, but are you going to get up today with intent? Are you going to get up today and make moves, or are you going to stay stagnant? And Coach Erica, she doesn't stay stagnant, and she believes in herself. She's confident. She has really taken her talent and just pushed it to grow in all areas. One being my most recent success, I actually, a couple weeks ago, was just in Miami filming. So now Coach Erica has entered.
That's my second home.
she has entered another hat. So I had the opportunity to cast on an episode on the Inside Success TV network called Women in Power. So that was something very new for me, very different. But just again, just speaking on those strides and that growth and just continuing to push on that journey to success.
How did that opportunity come about?
So it was very, very, unexpected. That's why I say, like, I'm learning that whatever is for you is just going to naturally come to you. Cause I honestly wasn't looking for it. I happened to, be online one day and I saw that they were mentioning that they were casting, and I was like, you know, I'm just going to inquire. I'm just curious. So for me, it was just initial out of curiosity, inquiry to see like what it would go. But then I had my meeting with the casting manager and I'm being recorded and she's like asking me all these questions and I'm like, oh, this is real. So totally unexpected, but true story. And then like literally, I didn't think anything of it. And I want to say by 12 o'clock the next day, I had an email basically saying, oh my God, the production team loved you. They loved your story. We absolutely have to have you on the episode. And everything went from there. And here we are. And now in the next 3 to 6 months, the episode will be out.
Wow. And that's how long did you stay in Miami?
I was only in Miami for a couple of days. Yeah. When I was down there, it was like a day of recording, but just a couple of days. Of course, I had to enjoy just a little bit.
You did.
I was there.
And Miami,
I did.
Miami's pretty different. Miami's different from Milwaukee, but in a lot of ways, Milwaukee and Miami rival each other in a lot of ways. If you jump outside of the tourist areas, what I recognize, although you know there are some similarities, there are a lot of complexities that are completely different, and I know that. If you look at Miami and the wealth that's being generated there, it dwarfs the wealth that's being generated here in Milwaukee. So how can Milwaukee, as a Milwaukeean, I'm taking you of born and raised here, how can people build wealth in Milwaukee?
Well, there are several ways to build wealth, but just because of my line of work and what I do, I'm always going to promote home ownership. Mm-hmm. I'm always going to say that individuals stop renting and purchase you a home. Start investing in yourself, whatever that looks like as far as investments for you. Mm-hmm. But just really start building back up in the community. I, you know, here at the business, one of the things that we offer as a service is property management.
Yeah.
And so we work with real estate investors from all across the world that purchase homes here in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And so how do we like stop that part of it and start having our own people here invest right here in the city? There's lots of properties and opportunities out there, but we just got to get out here and start making those investments back into our own community. So people outside of the community can't continue to keep coming in and purchasing here, because that's exactly what's going on right now.
You, I'm going to play devil's advocate, right? That's easy for you to say, Erica, you know, I'm just acting.
It is.
But that's easy for you to say, you have this and this and that. You know, I just have, you know, this part-time weekend job. you know, and I'm struggling to pay this bill over here, and you're asking me to buy a house. What does the coach say?
Yep, and I have a great comeback for that, because I have people tell me that all the time, and that's why my name is called Coach Erica, because I'm going to push you on that mindset and that thought. Yes, that's true, and yes, that's a lot of people's situation. But going back to my own personal story, when I got into real estate, I didn't have a ton of money. I wasn't born into wealth. My story goes back 20 years now from when I first initially entered into real estate, and I actually failed very horribly. And I actually suffered bad, very financially, and had to pull myself pretty much out of a pit to get back to the point of where I needed to get back to, which comes to the fast forward of 2017. So I always like to really put myself out here to let people know you can do whatever you want to do, regardless of what you think the challenge is. When we talk about finances, you're looking at a real person right now, me, somebody who has experienced credit card debt, student loan debt, filing bankruptcy twice, living paycheck to paycheck, not having enough to make ends meet.
Yeah.
So when I speak from truth. I speak from personal experience. So I'm somebody who can sit across on the other side and say, yes, I absolutely do know how you feel and know what that's like to feel like you can't get there. But I'm here to let people know in the world, yes, you can get there. I would encourage you, start connecting with people. Start being intentional about where you put yourself at in rooms so you can get fed information. So you can come into contact with people like myself who can give you information, pour into you and lead and guide you into the next directions. There's always a way. There's always a way. Even in real estate, there's always a way. And there are several resources out there, grants, just different things that can help people, for example, with home ownership.
And when we come back, we're going to try to take some calls. And also, you guys, if you are on the YouTube chat, hit us up on the Truth Radio 101.7. We're live with Erica Odom, our financial guru. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Grapevine with Erica Odom, our financial guru. Man, she is in the building. She's dropping these gems. We're going to pick some more grapes. But first, before we pick these grapes with Erica, with Erica Odom, make sure you give us a call, 833-212-1017. This is a very, very important lady in the city of Milwaukee, and she's dropping these gems about finances, housing. She even got a, what, you're a social worker too. We even talk about social work. If you got problems, Erica got the solutions. 833-212-1017. What's up, Erica? Let's take a step back. Let's talk about, If I had a dollar, what would you do? What's the first thing a person does when they get their paycheck? What should they do?
So, number one, my question would be making sure you have a budget. Budgeting is important. You got to know what you have to know what you can spend.
Yeah.
Savings, having everybody I work with, I encourage them to have some sort of emergency fund.
How much?
I know what you're going to say.
How much?
I know what you're going to say. Well, how can I save if I can't save? And I have a response for that. So my response is, I tell people, because I'm telling you, finances start with mindset. If your mindset is not in the right place, I can talk to you all day long. You can sit in every single workshop. But if you are not truly ready to change here, everything will stay the same. And mindset plays a big role when it comes to your finances, how you think about things and your perspective on things.
Yep.
And I'm going to touch this with savings. The way I look at savings and teach people savings is traction.
Yeah.
Do you have traction? Think about the snow. We're a snow state. When a car goes down the road, you see those car tracks from the tires. It has traction. And your savings is the same way. I don't care if you could save $5 a check, $5 a week, whatever that looks like, 20, 50, 100. But saving something is better than nothing.
Right.
Saving something is going to give you traction. $5 a week, a day, whatever that looks like, adds up over time compared to someone who is not saving anything at all. You have nothing to fall back on. You have no traction whatsoever. But you know, savings is just one portion. But my next question is, how are you going to make your money grow? Are you investing anything? Are you getting a return from investing in something, whether it be a Roth IRA, whether it's you getting you a business started, whether it's you doing real estate, whatever that looks like, but mm-hmm. your money needs to be saving, but it also needs to be working for you in some form of capacity.
So let me ask you a question about medical debt. So medical debt is the number one cause of bankruptcy in America, or at least one of mm-hmm. one of the major ones. And black families are hit the hardest. Am I right?
Yes, they are. It can be challenging. Yes.
So what can we do in that case, in medical debt? Because I know a lot of people, they get into an accident, whatever it is, broken arm, broken leg, you know, playing basketball at Lincoln Park, boom, no insurance. All of a sudden, it's a $10,000 medical bill.
Right. So with medical debt, and this is me kind of speaking on my experience as a social worker.
Okay. There we go. See, I told you. You got the answers.
I am actually a hospital social worker. So I see this stuff all the time. So when it comes to any type of debt, whether it's medical debt or just any other forms of debt, there's ways to go about it. Am I going to sit here and say that every situation is going to be the same for every individual? No, it's not. It's going to be situation to situation. But with medical debt, most of the time, what I would tell people, connect with your social worker. They have financial counselors in most hospitals where you can get, whether that be some type of financial assistance towards the bill mm-hmm. and or some type of payment plan to help you get that bill paid down. So I would definitely say starting there.
I like that. Is it better to pay off debt first or to start investing? A lot of people now are, you know, they're doing Robin Hood, the fractional investing with Square Square? Cash App. And, you know, other platforms. And mm-hmm. people are starting to make, you know, they're making a dollar or two, $200 there, here mm-hmm. and there. But is it good to start paying off debt or start investing first?
So I'm going to pose the question, can you build wealth with debt? Is a question I want people to think about. I have mixed feelings on this because mm-hmm. I could go either way with this conversation, mm-hmm. but I'm going to be an advocate to say that you should get rid of your debt. You should definitely, if you are in position to and can find the ways to do so, I would definitely say try to get rid of the debt, get the debt off of you, then start building up the wealth for yourself. If you're in position where, and again, it's going to look different person to person, because I don't know how much debt we're talking about. We could be talking about a $5,000 debt. We could be talking about a $30,000 debt. Yeah. So it's going to look different based on that situation. But I'm going to be an advocate to say that you should try to get rid of your debt first. Get rid of the debt, give yourself an opportunity to have a fresh start, and then really start focusing on building yourself back up and finding ways to get a return on your investment. The three ways that I mentioned earlier, some of the fastest ways, forming in some type of investment overall, stocks, Roth IRAs, home ownership as far as real estate investing, or some type of business income. But I'm going to say get rid of the debt. We don't want to have any debt.
No debt. And also inflation. Inflation has people feeling really squeezed. People mm-hmm. like, you know, people are feeling like there's rising costs in gas and fees and when you hit the ATM, or, you know, prices at the grocery store. What should families be doing? What should families be doing right now?
Well, I would say definitely staying ahead. And how do you stay ahead of what's going on? Going back to what I mentioned earlier, just taking those simple steps. Are you tracking what you're spending? A lot of times I'll use this one. I talk about this a lot, just, you know, something simple that relates to everybody. You get up in the morning, you get your day going, whatever that looks like. If you're a Starbucks person, you're stopping at Starbucks to get that coffee. If you are a Quick Trip person, you're stopping at Quick Trip to get whatever goodies you're going to get. All of that matters. Every single spending matters. And we don't tap and tune into it a lot, but everything counts. And if I were to challenge you to think about how much you're spending on that coffee every day, how much are you spending on Quick Trip every day? Those type of things add up. So am I saying that you can't, you know, live your life and enjoy a cup of coffee? No, that's okay to do, but we got to do things in moderation. You know, how are you tracking your everyday spending expenses. Are you budgeting? Are you spending above your means, spending monies that you don't have? Just because you have a credit card doesn't mean that you get to spend it. Okay.
Yep.
Just because you have savings in your account doesn't mean that you just spend because you have savings. You should be spending in the event of an emergency. That's why it's called an emergency savings.
Right.
You know, again, going back to the investment piece, if you are in position to do so, I would definitely say, you know, taking steps to try to start building some extra income for yourself outside of if you're working mm-hmm. or whatever that looks like that you're doing, trying to really get those investments going for yourself. I would recommend that.
Right. So I guess I have a difficult question. My difficult okay. question is, and I know you probably get this every blue moon, we have families that are mm-hmm. in the alternative life and they're making cash. And they want to get out the life, but they don't know how and where to put this particular cash. And I know this is a sensitive subject, but I think it has to also be said too that people of all genres need to be saved in some way. So what would you say to those individuals? I think this is a part of your social background too.
So if this is the alternative life that I'm thinking in my
and
head,
also gig workers too. We could talk about gig workers.
That I think you're referencing to, you're asking me what can they do with their money?
Yes.
So I would encourage them, depending on their situation, to try to at least start getting into real estate.
Okay.
That would be my recommendation.
Yeah.
Definitely get into real estate. Real estate is my main thing that I do. And again, talking for somebody with over 20 plus years and who has taken losses in real estate and built herself back up in yep. her real estate journey.
You said two bankruptcies. Real estate, yeah.
I've done two bankruptcies. Yeah. I've lost a house to a short sale. So again, I'm not just talking. I'm talking from things that I've personally dealt with personally yeah. in my own real estate journey. I would encourage them to definitely get into real estate. Real estate, if you have the opportunity to get into it and you go about it the right way and mm-hmm. have the right strategy, it can put you in position to be very wealthy and very successful if done correctly. Right. But on the flip side of that, if not done correctly, it can also put you in a very bad financial situation.
Some people jump into real estate and they think it's fast money.
Oh my God, I hear that all the time. Oh, I'm going to get into real estate. I'm going to flip these houses and I'm going to make all this money. And it's like, it's really not that simple. There's a lot of layers in real estate. And, you know, I would be interested in hearing what other real estate people have to say. Mm-hmm. But in real estate, you got to have a solid team.
Yeah.
You got to have a solid team. You're just one piece of the pie. Mm-hmm. But the other pieces of the pie, they all come together to make everything happen. And, you know, even, you know, a lot of people don't think about this piece. Your accountant. Having an accountant, mm-hmm. Because when you get that check at closing, right, that you just made,
yeah.
you got to pay taxes on that.
Yeah.
So you need to know about different things. Like, do you know about a 1031 exchange account? Do you know, are you consulting with an accountant to figure out how you're going to maneuver this money? And that's what I mean. Like, not having those people on your team, not having those basic concepts can get you in a lot of trouble very quickly. So yes, you can make a lot of money, but you definitely need to have your team of contractors, the realtor, the appraiser, the home inspector. There's so many different layers to it.
Well, that's amazing because I think you hit the nail on the head when you're talking about, you know, all those layers in relationship to the, mm-hmm. the real estate. Real estate game isn't a fast game. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Correct?
Yes. Correct. It takes time. And then you have to figure out what your niche is.
Yeah.
Like me, I have experience in doing fix and flips. I've done fix and flips. I've done buy and holds.
Yeah.
You know, are you right now my business, we do property management. I mm-hmm. do project management. So I've experienced just all different areas of real estate. So you got to really find out what works for you.
Yeah.
I know a lot of investors, we all do things differently, and that's okay.
Right.
And I tell people, like, you don't have to go about it the way I go about it. You need to find a system that works for you. And if your system is working, keep repeating that system if it's working for you and continue to leverage and build your portfolio and go from there. But it just depends on what it is that you're looking to do.
I like that. Erica Odom, thank you so much for the love and attention you have given us on this platform on the Truth 101.7 FM. You're on, you have definitely dedicated a period of today's time to the Grapevine, and we really appreciate it, Erica Odom. You guys, where can we find you at, Erica?
We are all over. So you can start by the website. website is odomhomes.com. You can call into the office 1-855-ODOM-WAY if you want to talk to us directly. We're on social platforms. Odom Investments and Property Management is on Instagram and Facebook. And I myself, Coach Erica, is also on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. So
wow. It's
easy to find me or the business.
Hey, y'all. Thank you, Erica Odom. And thank you all for listening to her. This is fantastic. These are gems that we need in Milwaukee, in the state of Wisconsin, and also in the country. Everybody, we're all aiming to work our way upwards. Erica, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome back to The Grapevine. I'm your host, Manan Sabir, and we were just got done talking to Erica Odom, and she was dropping the gems about real estate and finances, especially in Milwaukee, and what we can do to be more financially healthy and wealthy in our community and also our state and also our family. So remember, the views and ideas of our guests are related to our guests and not of the Truth Nation 101.7 radio. So remember that we have many, many ideas and topics that are coming up for the rest of the show. So please stay tuned. We have Michael Jordan Payton coming up, and he's going to be talking about his life and role as it relates to being a recipient of the Sean Carter Foundation and Gloria Carter Foundation scholarship. He was a award recipient not too long ago, and then he turned around and did a documentary, a full-fledged official documentary of the Murder, Inc. family, and then also an interview with Jay-Z. So we will be talking to him in about 25 minutes. So I had a really, really interesting talk with someone who was giving me the heads up, and the heads up was in relationship to the Black church and the Black church and how it is keeping us sick. And I looked up a study, and the study was about Black men who attend church almost daily have significantly higher odds of experiencing obesity compared to those who rarely or never attend, nearly twice as likely. And so the potential causes are frequent potlucks. So if you know that in a Black church, potlucks are usually, for what I expect, potlucks are usually given possibly either Wednesdays and or Sundays or both. And they have more than likely, most potlucks are given in the basement of a church, especially here in the North, not necessarily in the South all the time. But I have been a part of many churches who have potlucks, fellowship meals, and you know, they also focus on communal gathering over maybe even some physical, and also physical activity may contribute But men heavily involved in church leadership may also prioritize faith commitments over personal health and self-care. So, for example, we have men who, and this is a study that was actually completed in 2019, but it's still relevant to today. We have men who prioritize their faith over personal health. And we have to realize when we're doing that and we're prioritizing our faith over our personal health, it's not to say that we're competing. We're setting up a competition between faith and health. It's synonymous, and they parallel each other. So remember, if we are in church and we have a denominational differences, most denominations prioritize health, but over a period of time, our Baptist black church folks are the ones that are the cornerstone of health risk by a long run. And this is a huge topic, because I think that most folks that are in church are there, you know, for, you know, good reasons. They're there to give themselves over to the Lord in one way or the other. They're doing their work. Every Sunday they wake up, they get themselves ready. Most people don't eat. They eat probably a light breakfast or, you know, whatever it is, and then they go on to church. After church, they then either fellowship downstairs or, you know, they go over to the local diner, whatever the diner is. It could be a restaurant, whatever it is. And then they, you know, they go to their relative's house, as most folks do, and call it a day. But what's in that food is of concern to most folks. That is collard greens, chicken, what else? Collard greens, chicken, you name it. Like, it's all over the place. And one thing I do see are there's not much regulation when it comes to individuals regulating the ingredients that are placed inside of these dishes. So, folks, if you go to a black church and you have experienced a potluck / communal dinner, lunch, whatever it is, and it's a heavy plate, it's, you know, food that rivals fast food, give us a call, 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. We have pastors that when they are congregating, they're getting their members together, they're doing the pastoral thing, they're preaching, they're giving the word. What are our pastors, and I want to know, what are our pastors preaching about in relationship to health, wellness, and the likes? What are our pastors preaching about? Because what we do see is our partners, our local churches frequenting these types of potlucks where the meals are based around soul food. And that gives that even the word soul food, it's, if you have that, even the context of the word, if you have that every Sunday, it's going to contribute to a lot of comorbidities not just, you know, overweight or obesity, being fat, right? It's going to contribute to hypertension, diabetes, heart disease, and also, you know, it can graduate into something even greater. Or, you know, these are items or comorbidities that you can ultimately perish from. A lot of times I do recognize that, especially now, there are a few churches, and I want to celebrate these particular churches because they're transitioning some churches into health sanctuaries, because the church holds an immense trust. Many congregations now actively combat obesity through faith-based interventions, plant-based meals at church events, walking groups. So I'm not necessarily coming down on the black church, but we want to know, can we ultimately eliminate the idea of having unhealthy meals during our potluck and also fellowship meal times? Is it possible? Because not only is obesity a state of emergency, but also food apartheid. And we as a church going community, we cannot support the food apartheid that we're actually running away from. Hey, y'all, when we come back, we're going to continue our food apartheid and also black church discussion. My name is Manan Sabir. This is The Grapevine. Let's take a break, Zach. Welcome back, Milwaukee. You're listening to The Grapevine. I'm your host, Manan Sabir, and we are back with On The Truth Radio 101.7, and we're going to have a really, really good show coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, the 2 p.m. Central Time hour. On the last part of our show, we're going to continue to discuss our black obesity, black church health topics, because I think this is really, really important. But first, I want to give everybody a time to listen, and a time of self-reflection from me. I asked a friend of ours and a friend of our station, partner of our station, a topic and a question that was not becoming of our station and also of myself, but I was to ask a question that was in relationship to gig work, but it came out in a kind of a off-putting way, and we want to make sure that as a community on the truth and also as a part of the grapevine that we hold ourselves to the highest of standards. So we have a caller on line one. Marlon, line one.
Hey, how you doing? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Marlon, for calling in. Definitely wanted to talk to you about this.
So I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. The problem is our mentality in the Black community. You know, just like you talk about whoopings and stuff, everybody like, well, I got whooped and I'm an okay person. You know what I mean? I think that's the same thing with food.
Right.
You know, we have to start thinking different. We have to start doing things different. You know, you don't have to do everything with pork.
Right.
My grandfather, he had heart disease. And I remember when he first had his first heart attack, the doctor told him, you can't eat nothing from inside of pig.
Right.
You know, a lot of us eat chitlins and all that kind of stuff. So he told him, you can't eat anything from inside the pig, and which changed our diet and our family.
Right.
You know, we did a lot more stuff with turkey and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But you get these people who are like traditionalists, if you want to say that, and they say, oh, it doesn't taste the same, and it doesn't do this, or it doesn't do that. And, you know, and I think the other thing with food in general is moderation, right?
Right.
I can't eat greens with pork every Sunday. You know what I mean? I can maybe do it maybe once. Twice a quarter, maybe, but yeah, never we should be doing it every single, because actually greens are good for you. It's just the way that we cook them and the stuff we put in them.
Right.
So that is actually where we got to be in, because, you know, any natural green leafy is really good for your body. It's just the way you prepare them. And it's just, that's just a mind shift that we got to go through. So we could do it, you know what I mean? But I think it's interesting how you said that men who go to church are more likely to be obese. And is that, you know, I know you said it's a potluck, but I'm also wondering what other situations also help that out as well.
Yeah.
But that's just an interesting thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a question for you.
Time.
I had a question for you,
yeah,
just real quick. You go to church every weekend?
No. I stepped away from the church but I grew up in the church. I went to church all the way till I was probably about 45. I'm now 50, but yes.
Okay, and when you were in church, did you experience, you know, the church meals down in the basement? Or,
oh, yeah.
And
definitely.
What were the meals consistent of?
A lot of times it had to do with fried chicken, right? That was one of them. A lot of greens or potato salad.
Right.
A lot of like caramel cakes and pecan pie and, you know, coconut cake and a lot of stuff like that. It depends on the time of year, really, it seemed like what the main meal was, but pretty much every single time fried chicken was there, and a lot of, you know, and you get a lot of salt in fried chicken.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's part of it as well, was mainly the fried chicken. And then sometimes they have baked chicken, but you could always tell like the fried chicken would go first and then people would go to the baked chicken, but the fried chicken definitely would go first, you know, ham sometimes. And then, you know, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, normally a lot of chicken, a lot of fried chicken was probably the most dominant thing.
Right. Right. So just last question. So did the,
no problem.
Did the pastor or, you know, the person in charge, did they give any?
No.
I already know what I'm about to say.
Because you asked a question, and I was thinking about it. I have never heard any pastor at any church that I ever went to speak about health and wellness.
Mm.
You know, now I know that we have, what is that, Evolve Church?
Yeah.
And from what I understand, that Pastor Locke, he does a lot of different things. But again, I've only been there a couple times, but I have never heard him talk about health and wellness from the pulpit. You know what I mean? So it'd be interesting for somebody who goes to church there if he talks about that. But realistically, I have never heard any Black pastor ever in my life. And I'm 52 years old. Like I said, I have never heard any pastor talk about health and wellness from the pulpit.
Has Matt, Marlon, thank you so much. I really appreciate it because this is a really fantastic conversation. But I wanted to actually go to the chat, and the chat says, let's go, Erica, Grapevine, Manon. Shaky says, great info. Maybe Shannon says, great conversation. Maybe Shannon says, teamwork makes a dream work for us, for sure. Sherry Harris said, good conversation, important information shared. Shaky 8 says, I'm excited for him to talk about his journey. Do you have a savings account? We had took a poll, and the savings, most people said, yes, they do. 17% said no, and 8% said they have multiple savings accounts. That's a poll of out of 12 people. Pastor Ashford definitely does from Biko Baker. That's true. I think Pastor Ashford definitely does. I don't know as many pastors. It should be an overwhelmingly amount of individuals that are talking about health and wellness, especially in the Black church. I think for many generations, the Black church has been the heartbeat of the community, and it's carried us through slavery, segregation, Jim Crow, the civil rights movement, funerals, baptisms, weddings, and every storm in between. But here's my question. Can the place that helped save our souls also, can it help save our bodies? And I think that's a huge topic that should also is ring true in our communities and also our churches. Can the place that helps save our souls help save our bodies? You look at a lot of the funerals that we go to, a lot of the baptisms, you want weddings, you name it. We're looking to enjoy ourselves, but also how far to the left are we getting when we're talking about food in the Black church? This is a healthy conversation. I wanted to see if we can get more people on to talk about the Black church and how we can change the narrative on food in the Black church, especially our Sunday services, our Wednesday services, and also some of the special events that go on in the church. But it's not just the church. It's not just the church. It's the church. It's the mosque. It's the other temples and other places that we have large gatherings. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Michael Jordan Payton. He is the Sean Carter, Dr. Gloria Carter scholarship recipient that then turned around and developed a official Murder Inc. That's right. Documentary, and then turned that around and wind up interviewing Jay-Z, the Jay-Z, with the locks, not the fro. Hey, y'all, when we come back, make sure you tune in at 2 o'clock because we have Michael Jordan Payton, 833-212-1017. Make sure you either give us a call during the show or hit us up on the chat. Dak, let's take a break.